Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. This week we are in part two of our Internal Harmony series. If you missed it, last week we started a series. We took a pause from our Bible on Business series because I wanted to discuss this concept of internal harmony. I found myself in a space, if you've been following me for a while, I talk about how I don't believe in balance. I believe in harmony because by definition, in order for something to be balanced, all parts have to have the same weight. But the reality of life is that things that we have going on just do not hold the same weight. And I believe instead of trying to pursue balance, we should pursue harmony in which every aspect of our life flows together well. And something that I realized recently is that as I am looking to have harmony in my life, I was getting really good at putting the systems in place, building the efficiency that was necessary to be able to manage my roles as a wife, a mother, having multiple businesses, of course, being a Christian and staying close to the Lord, having this podcast, like the list can go on of the hats that I wear. And it was pretty much easy because I've been doing it for some years now on finding the harmony with everything that I have going on. But I was realizing that something was still missing, though. There was still this inconsistency that I felt internally. There was still this tug of war of being sucked into busyness versus being dependent on the Holy Spirit and being in step with the Holy Spirit consistently. There was just this battle that was going on internally for me. And as I sought the Lord on it, what I realized was that there's this internal harmony that needed to be focused on for me during this season, to where I've mastered the external, the productivity, the making my life run like a well-oiled machine, but it was some internal things that needed to be addressed. And so while internal and external harmony are interdependent, for me personally, they had to be separated so I could focus on what the Lord is calling me to pay attention to in this season. And as I've been going through this process for myself, I realized that so many of us high achieving, high performing women find ourselves in the exact same space where we're producing great results. We're doing a lot of great things. However, there's still a lack of peace. There's still anxiety that's present. There's still a lot of self-doubt. There's still a lot of inconsistency. A lot of the things that people don't see go unaddressed because we produce and perform well despite what may be dysregulated internally. So I was excited as I was learning this and focusing on this for myself, and I had to bring it to the podcast. And so that's how we landed on this series. The series is four parts because there were four psychological factors that I found in my research that contribute to us not having internal harmony. The first was cognitive overload, which we discussed last week. If you are somebody where you have 50 million things on your mind that is not allowing you to hear the Lord, it's not allowing you to slow down, your mind is just at capacity and it's like that consistently, I suggest that you go and listen to the first part of this series because we discussed cognitive overload and I also gave you some tips on how you can lighten that load. And then the second psychological factor is what we're going to be discussing today, which is disembodiment. Now, let me tell you, this one was knocking on my door. I really had to sit and pause as I was putting my notes together for this episode and process because this is something that I personally deal with the most. I deal with cognitive overload at times, depending upon what I have going on, but I feel like disembodiment is a disposition that I have wrestled with for quite some time and have been breaking out of through therapy, sitting with the Lord, and just wanting different things out of life as I'm getting older. But let's get some definitions here so we can understand what disembodiment means. Disembodiment means operating from a purely mental or intellectual space while suppressing bodily sensations and emotional signals. For example, you live in your head and not your body. You can go all day without eating, without drinking water, without using the bathroom, and then boom, it's 5 o'clock and you're starving, you're lightheaded, your throat is dry. You just don't even realize that you just went all day without nourishing your body because you are not even physically present enough in your body to recognize those sensations. Or, and this happens to me often, you may find yourself in a place where you randomly get a headache. And you're trying to figure out where this headache comes from, but your shoulders are tight, your back is stiff because you're carrying so much tension in your body and not even realizing it. And it's only until you're physically in a considerable amount of pain that you start to realize it. Rest to you may feel like being unproductive. So whenever you are exhausted, you continue to push through so that you could get things done. Another example of disembodiment is when you're numb to emotions. So if somebody asks you how you feel, you just go to, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm doing all right. These generic, typical answers that don't require us to actually check in to see how we really feel. It doesn't require us to name our emotions, to feel our emotions. We just default to whatever makes the most sense. And the sad part about this is most of the time when you're that go-to person, people don't even inquire deeper. One of my good friends, I love her so much. And one of the things that I love about hanging out with her is that she doesn't let me get away with this stuff. Where I'll talk to her about something. First, she intentionally doesn't talk to me about business. Maybe about like an hour plus. It's usually a considerable amount of time when we hang out before she asks me anything that has to do with business. If she asks me how I feel and I say, oh, I'm good, she'll give me a look. And I know that that means that that's not a good enough answer. And I need to really figure out how I feel and communicate it. And I really appreciate her for that because many people just be like, oh, okay, that's good. But nobody's actually having a real conversation or forcing you to identify your emotions so you continue to be numb. And we're going to talk about relationships a little bit later in the episode. But when you're numb to emotion, you may also find yourself crying at random times. You didn't even know you were upset. And then all of a sudden, you put a little bit too much creamer in your coffee and you are bursting out into tears. It has nothing to do with the creamer in the coffee, but it's just that you have been so numb to your emotions for so long. One little thing just sends you over the edge and you don't even realize why you're so hysterical. And even on the opposite end, something good could happen and you don't even take the time to be joyful or happy about it. You don't even feel that. Something amazing happens and you're like, oh, that's great. And just move on. That's disembodiment. A spiritual example is that your relationship with the Lord is productivity based. You read your Bible, but you can't recall what it said or how it made you feel because in your mind, you're multitasking the whole time. You're checking off this quiet time of I read my Bible. I did my devotional. I sung some songs. Cool. My time with God can be crossed off on my planner, but you never sit still long enough to actually communicate with the Lord. You don't sit still long enough to receive from him. You don't have the flexibility in your relationship to even allow that to happen. And so, again, it's more productivity based than a true transformative relationship where you're connected with the Lord and open to what he has to say. And the last example I want to give is when you're physically present but mentally absent. And this happens often, I feel like, for wives and moms in particular, to where you're home with your family, your children are running around, your husband is there, but you're mentally just totally somewhere else. Same with being at church, being out with friends. You're physically in all these places, but you're mentally somewhere else and you don't even realize it. That's the sad part about disembodiment. You don't even realize that you're in this space. And I feel like that's how the enemy can thrive in it. Because in your mind, you feel like you're being productive. You're checking things off your list. You're doing what you're supposed to do. But you're not taking the time to take inventory on how you actually feel. You're not taking the time to move out from your head into your body long enough to realize that you're out of alignment. And so if the enemy can keep you here for extended periods of time, he can totally destroy you and you wouldn't even realize it. Until it's too late or until it's a rock bottom type of conversation. Isn't that scary? To be in a place where you've produced all of these things, you have all of these quote unquote trophies, but still getting destroyed? I pray that with this series, as I'm bringing up these different psychological factors, that if it applies to you or someone that you know, that I'm able to bring you to a point where you recognize what's going on so that you can then take steps to reconnect with the Lord and get the freedom from whichever one or combination of multiple factors you may be dealing with. Let's talk about how disembodiment shows up in business too, because yes, we produce well, we have all of these trophies. However, if you put enough eyes to it, there's still some cracks in how we show up. There's still some ways, obvious ways, that things are not going as well as we may think. The first way it shows up in business is overfunctioning. So you're pushing through headaches, fatigue, burnouts because the work has to get done. Somebody has to do it. If you're like me, I hate when things just pile up that need to get done. It frustrates me. If you're somebody where you find it difficult to delegate because somebody else isn't going to do it the way that you do it, now you're overfunctioning because you have a task, a job, or a position that somebody else could be doing and may even be hired to do. But you're doing it because the work has to get done. Maybe they dropped the ball or you have some control issues that's allowing you or making way for you to overfunction. You may ignore physical hunger, stress, or pain because you have to push through to meet client deadlines or expectations. They're blowing up your email and frustrated, sending calls and texts, etc., to where they're trying to pull a lot from you. And so that leads to you ignoring yourself. And because rest already feels unproductive, you avoid it until you get to a place where your body forces you to stop. And we'll get to consequences of disembodiment in a second. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important. And in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. Another way this shows up in business is you leave from performance and not presence. You're constantly on, but you're emotionally checked out. And so that leaves you unavailable to your team and to your clients beyond the task at hand or whatever needs to get done. You rely on strategies and systems, but you don't have space for spirit-led decisions. You may be present in a meeting, but you're disconnected from your emotions, from your discernment, and what the Holy Spirit may be saying at any point in time. everything that we've discussed in the Bible on Business series, it's produced from presence. You can't steward your business and the people that you're called to well if you're not present with them. You can't make spirit-led business decisions if you're so checked out. You're unable to respond to the Holy Spirit who's indwelling. So no matter how much you get done in a day, no matter how many tasks are checked off on your to-do list, if you're not doing it from a place of presence, then it still ain't right. Another way this shows up in business is you have a disconnected identity. You over-identify with your role or your title, and you lose connection with who you actually are outside of what you could produce. You may also deal with struggling to delegate, this time not because of control, but more so because who are you if you're not doing the things? Who am I if I'm not producing? The disembodiment has caused you to disconnect from your identity outside of what your occupation may be, and that is a huge issue. There's so many more things that I could list, but in short, disembodiment when it comes to business is when you lead from your head and your hands while neglecting your heart and His Spirit. It's building what looks successful to other people while feeling anxious, numb, or out of alignment behind the scenes. And this is not how the Lord designed us to build. This is not how He wants us to live, and this is not how He wants us to build His businesses. Now, y'all know, I like to do my research. After going down my rabbit hole of disembodiment, I wanted to know, how do we get here? I mean, we could chalk it up to trauma, of course, but I wanted some details as to how did we get here? How do we get so far removed from this regulated place, from this aligned place where we're abiding in the Lord, where we're present in our bodies? Like, how did we get to this disconnected state? Nobody showed embodiment better than Jesus, and we'll get there in a second as well. So how did we get so far off? Here's what I found when I was researching some of the root causes of disembodiment, because I feel like if we could identify why we are the way that we are, then we could address the situation head on, as opposed to just trying to change our behaviors. I feel like if we could understand how we got to this point, then we can dig it up at the root through prayer, through fasting, through therapy, and all the necessary work, and then get back to building the way that it should have been in the first place. So here are some of the root causes of disembodiment I found. The first one, of course, is trauma or unresolved emotional pain. According to the National Survey of American Life, Black women are 50% more likely to experience psychological distress than white women, yet are significantly less likely to receive mental health treatment. And in these statistics, I'm going to highlight Black women specifically, because that's a lot of our audience. And I also want to identify some of the generational differences, because the listeners of this show span from Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z the most. So I want to also discuss how these things impact us differently. So back to the study, saying many of us, as in Black women, grew up in environments where survival came before self-awareness, where strength was praised, but softness was unsafe. Whether it was the trauma of a broken home, witnessing violence, or being told to, quote unquote, suck it up, disembodiment often became our defense mechanism. We learned early to stay in our heads and detach from what we felt in our bodies just to function. Gen X women often carry unresolved generational trauma without language for it. Millennials lean into therapy but still battle stigma in faith communities. Gen Z is more open about mental health but often lacks grounded faith-based tools to process trauma with God. I know for me personally, my trauma growing up put me in a position where disembodiment was my safe space. Putting up walls protected me. It was safe there. Not feeling meant that I wouldn't be overtaken by my circumstances. I could have a level of disconnect that was necessary for me to function and for me to excel. But what I've learned as I've grown in maturity as well as in my faith is that those walls that we created based upon our own traumas, yes, they worked. but we have to get to a point where we see the Lord as that safe space, to where instead of detaching and getting to this point of disembodiment, we run to Him as our strong tower, as our safe space, as our place of refuge, as our safe space to land. There has to be some transference of the way that we did things before in the way that we do things now that we are in Christ. I think that's why it's so important to really prioritize Romans 12, where it talks about renewing your mind, because this is a big part of it. These are psychological things that we're discussing here. And so we have to prioritize renewing our mind, because that's going to help us make that transfer. So when life gets hard, emotions come up, we're not running away from them, but we're running to Him, and knowing that as we run to Him, He will comfort us and see us through. Another root cause of disembodiment is childhood environments that praised achievement and not emotional expression. Studies show that many high-achieving women were raised in homes where love was earned through performance. If you got straight A's, kept it together, helped out, or made your parents proud, you were affirmed. But when you were sad, scared, or angry, that wasn't rewarded, so you learned to hide it. This is especially common amongst Black Christian households, where emotional expression was sometimes viewed as weakness, rebellion, or even unspiritual. A study in 2022 through Harvard study found that 70% of Black women in corporate spaces feel that they have to wear a mask at work, hiding their true emotional state to maintain professionalism. Gen X women were often called strong Black women before they even knew who they were. Millennials often became first-generation achievers, carrying the weight of success for the whole family. Gen Z feels pressured to be both emotionally honest and exceptionally accomplished on social media. Another root cause of disembodiment is church cultures that elevate intellect over experience. In many church traditions, especially those rooted in respectability politics, studies show that there's been an unspoken rule: be smart, sound, and orderly. That meant Bible study was prioritized over emotional healing, intellect over encounter, head knowledge over heart transformation. Even in charismatic spaces where experience is emphasized, deep discipleship and emotional literacy were often missing. There's a study that found that 70% of millennials who left the church did so because it felt shallow or emotionally disconnected. And while Black church attendance remains high, Black millennials and Gen Z report feeling spiritually disconnected even when they go. Gen Z was taught theology and not embodiment. Millennials know the word but often struggle to feel God's nearness without structured devotion. And Gen Z craves authentic encounters but is often emotionally dysregulated and overstimulated. So you know about God, but you still feel far from Him. Another root cause is perfectionism and fear of feeling like you're too much. Many of us were labeled too sensitive or too emotional growing up, and you learn to shrink, shut down, or harden up. For Black women in particular, there's an unspoken cultural message: don't be too loud, too soft, too vulnerable, or too angry. So what do we do instead? We strive, we control, we perfect, because falling apart feels unsafe. A 2023 survey showed that 58% of Black women feel that they need to be everything to everyone in their households and communities. Meanwhile, Black Gen Z girls are reporting a record high rate of anxiety, body image issues, and emotional suppression linked to social performance pressures. Gen X internalized the need to be strong no matter what. Millennials mastered curating the perfect life while silently burning out. And Gen Z rebels against perfectionism, but often swings into performance online. Any of you identify with any of these yet? I'm giving detailed examples because I don't want anybody to say, oh, this isn't me, I don't deal with this, if it does apply. I don't want anybody to miss the freedom and the wholeness that is in the Lord by still being oblivious to the disembodiment that you may possess. The last root cause I want to highlight is over-reliance on discipline or logic. If your strategy is always to power through, to figure it out, or to keep it moving, you may be disconnected from your emotional and spiritual center. Many Christian women mistake control for stewardship and suppression for strength. You may fast, but you never feel. You may tithe, but you still operate from a place of scarcity. You may pray, but you still cling to your own plan. You may be in church every single Sunday serving, but you have no clue how to seek the Lord for yourself. You may buy all the Bible study books and read and study the Word, but when it's time to apply it, feel stuck and confused and overwhelmed. The list goes on. This shows up in the different generations, with Gen X depending on logic and systems to survive unstable environments. Millennials built systems and schedules to feel safe while balancing it all. And Gen Z leans into healing habits like journaling and vision boards, but sometimes lack spiritual grounding. If any of these things hit home to you, listen, you're not broken. I don't want you to feel bad about yourself. You have just been in your version of survival mode, but the Lord wants us to heal. That's what the purpose is of this series, is to bring healing to us internally. There's healing in the harmony. And the first step to get into that healing is to recognize where we're broken, and then taking that brokenness to the Lord so through Him we can be made whole. Now, I know we spent a lot of time defining disembodiment, showing the way that it shows up. We've identified the root causes. We really went into detail on what this psychological factor is. And again, because I didn't want anybody who was dealing with this to feel like this didn't apply. If the shoe fits, I want us to put it on so that we can address this thing head on. But before we get into the practical things to do, I want us to shift our focus to the one that mastered embodiment, which is the opposite of disembodiment. And that was Jesus, our example. Jesus embraced being human. He felt, he rested, he touched, he cried. He was in tune with his Father in heaven and in his body on earth. He is the perfect example of internal harmony. If we look at John 11:35, a simple verse, Jesus wept. This is the shortest verse in the Bible, but it's so profound because it shows how the Lord was in tune with his emotions and he allowed himself to feel, so much so that he cried. He didn't suppress his emotions. He didn't tell himself to man up, to suck it up. He didn't avoid his emotions. He felt them. In Mark 4:38, it says, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus rested. So many of us feel guilty for resting, but that's exactly what Jesus did. And in this text in particular, it was in the middle of the storm. All of this going on around him, but Jesus honored his physical need for rest and he took it, despite the storm that was happening. As we've learned throughout this episode, many of us who deal with disembodiment, a storm can be happening and all we're going to do is push through. We're going to figure out how to get it done despite what may be happening. We take pride in that, but that's not being Christ-like, because being Christ-like is going to bed, is laying down, is honoring our physical limits and resting when we need to rest despite what may be happening. In Luke 4:45-46, we find the woman with the issue of blood. It says, "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." And so here, Jesus felt this spiritual exchange. He was sensitive to being touched. In order for him to be sensitive to being touched, he had to be aware of his body. He has to be connected to his physical presence. And he was also connected to his spiritual power. Because of, as we know, the woman was healed by touching the hem of his garment. But nevertheless, Jesus was fully there. So as you can see, embodiment, the opposite of disembodiment, is biblical, is Christ-like. This is what we should be pursuing, and we should be rejecting this psychological factor of disembodiment. Now let's talk practical. I hear you, Tatum. I recognize myself in this concept. Now, what do I do so that I can be less like what my trauma has made me to be and be more like the one who has transformed me and saved me? The first thing that you have to do, there's no way around it, is to address the root cause. If I was to just give you a list of tasks and things that you could do on a day-to-day, things that you could check off, it's not going to help. It's going to be like chopping down a tree with the root still intact. It's just going to grow back. If it's unforgiveness that's causing your disembodiment, you have to address it. You should address it not even just for the disembodiment aspect, but you should address it because the Lord wants you to forgive. If it's some childhood trauma, something that you've been through in your life that you may have been avoiding, that you haven't wanted to deal with and is manifesting itself as disembodiment, you have to address it. You have to face it. You have to feel it. You have to work through it. You work through it with the Lord. You work through it with a professional, whichever professional is applicable to your situation. But you have to decide that you are no longer going to let your trauma dictate your behavior. And we've talked about this earlier. We create these walls because they make us feel safe and they've worked for so long. But the Lord wants us to be whole. He wants us to be free. And this aspect of disembodiment may have made us functional, but it's not helpful in our pursuit of being close to the Lord and being Christ-like. So we have to deal with it. So that's the first thing. Address the root cause. It's not going to be uprooted overnight. Some of this stuff we have to really work through is going to take time to unpack. It's going to take time to work through our emotions. This isn't an overnight thing, and it's not supposed to be. I know these episodes are week to week, but a lot of the concepts that we discuss are things that are going to take a long time. However, we have to be committed. I know for me, one of the things that drove me into this disposition of this disembodiment was a lot of things that I went through in my upbringing. And I've been in therapy off and on for years, going to therapy with family members who have hurt me. And I feel that the Lord has really healed me from a lot of my childhood trauma. I've even recognized over the years how I've had to go back and resubmit some things to the Lord. I remember one time a family member did something and it just irritated my soul. It irritated me or it bothered me so much that it revealed that I wasn't as healed as I thought I was. And I may need a little bit more work. And I remember taking that to the Lord and I was like, God, heal my heart. I've done anything that a professional can tell me to do, anything that's practical. I've done everything that I could do. I need you to heal my heart because clearly there's still some residue that is there. Help me. Because I don't like what my reaction revealed about myself. And the Lord did. He moved on my heart to where as time went on, those things that would trigger me or agitate me didn't bother me anymore. And I didn't do anything differently. All I did was recognize that something else needed to be surrendered and gave it to the Lord. But after you deal with the root cause, sometimes that behavior is still there. Those habits are still there. And so we may find ourselves in a space where once the root cause is addressed, what that root cause created, though, is still there. And so those habits and behaviors have to be changed. We have to create new patterns of behaviors that align with who we are now in Christ. And so that's where some of these practical things come into play. So first thing that I want you to do if you deal with disembodiment is to do body scans. And what I mean by that is just take inventory on how you feel. I remember this week in particular for me has been extremely busy. I started law school this week. My nanny started this week. I'm getting my household adjusted to a new person coming in. My two-year-old needed to get adjusted to a new person. I still have my baby. I'm still breastfeeding. I still had to prepare for school. They gave us a whole homework assignment before orientation started. So I have work to do for school before even get into my first class. So it was a lot happening this week. And I knew ahead of time, especially during this podcast, that I have a propensity to go the way that I don't need to go. And so I'm going to actively choose to change my pattern of behavior in hopes that the more that I do this, it will be my default. And so this week, I found myself multiple times just pausing and doing a scan of how I felt. And it was one day where I could feel the tension in my shoulder area. I could feel it in my neck. And I just stopped. I said, Lord, help release this tension. I released this tension to you. And I stretched, physically kind of worked that out. And then I just went and continued about my day. I can't tell you that my neck immediately stopped hurting, but it was just a moment to recognize how I felt and to surrender how I feel to the Lord. So do that. If you find yourself just being too busy, because I find myself sometimes moving so fast where I hear the Holy Spirit say, Tatum, slow down. There's no reason why you should be moving this fast. And I will have to stop, take a deep breath, and continue at a slower pace. So do these body scans as a way to stop and address how you feel and ask the Holy Spirit to show you where you may be keeping some tension or show you different things that you may not recognize is going on in your body. Sometimes he may say, stand up straight. That's the reason why you're having these pains in certain areas. Fix your posture. It may be as simple as that, but just taking a moment to recognize that I have a physical body. What is it telling me? How does it feel? It gets you to the point where you are not just in your head anymore, but you've actually moved into your temple. Something else that you could do is practice physical stillness. So schedule pauses within your day. And I'm doing this as I'm creating a new schedule for myself. I'm putting all of my pieces together for what I need for school, home. My son has started kindergarten this year. So what he has going on at his school, I'm getting it all organized. I'm big on efficiency and systems, as you guys know. So I'm getting all my stuff together and working out my systems. And one of the things that I had to add into it are pauses. So, for example, in the mornings, my schedule is that I take my oldest son to school and I head to campus for my classes. There's about an hour break. I scheduled it so that I have an hour once I get to school before I have to be in my first class. So that's a pause at that point. I've done my commute. I've done everything that I've done early morning. Now let me pause before having to go in and be a student for the next however many hours. And even if you don't schedule pauses, I suggest scheduling them because it forces you to do it or reminds you to do it at least. Even if you don't, you could just schedule it. You could just set a reminder on your phone that says, hey, pause. And when you pause, practice physical stillness. Just sit down for a moment. Close your eyes and take some deep breaths. Breathe 4 in, 6 out. Calm your central nervous system. Get out of your mind for a second and just relax your body. Enter your body and relax it. And doing that, and that allows you to take a physical moment, take a beat, but also that gives you space to acknowledge the Lord and what he may be saying at any point in time. Because remember, the point of all of this is for us to serve him better. Another suggestion that I would give is to get those that you love involved. As I was doing my notes for this episode, and I told you guys this is something that I deal with, I went to ChatGPT and I was like, hey, I'm doing a podcast episode on disembodiment. I'm somebody who deals with disembodiment. My husband is also someone who deals with disembodiment. How can we best support each other and not enable each other's bad behavior because this is a flaw that we have in common? And it gave me a list of different things that we could do. But one of the things that really stood out was that it said to have heart conversations and not head conversations. So instead of asking, how was your day? Ask, how did your body feel today? When did you feel the most overwhelmed today? Where did you feel God's peace today? Is there anything that I can carry for you this week? And I thought this was so good, because it does force you to get out of your head and really get present in how you feel and in the moment with the other person. So getting other people involved that you love is really helpful as well. And you can set the example. Most of the time, we're around like-minded people, so you could set the example of when you go out with your friends, instead of asking these head questions, you ask some heart ones. Ask them, how's your body felt this week? Shoot, if you over 30 like me, ask them, what your knees feeling like? We still good? Ask them just anything that requires them to acknowledge how they feel. And usually that'll strike up a conversation that will force you to do the same. So involving those around you that you talk to, that you communicate with, and that love you is going to be really helpful for you to practice embodiment as well. So I think that this is a good place to end. I pray that this episode has blessed you. I pray that it's giving you some language for some things that you may have been dealing with or praying about. I pray that I've given you some practical tools that are helpful. And I'm looking forward to us continuing on in this series. This series has been blessing me tremendously. I'm not even going to lie. I've truly enjoyed doing these episodes, and I look forward to us continuing on in the Internal Harmony series. Again, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.